Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the magnificent Monday edition of Yard. Hope you guys had a good weekend. I hope all the dads got something cool and not just a tire socks. I know you're grateful for anything, but let's be honest, you'd like them to make a little effort. Yeah. So just so you know, so you can be envious, I got a new swimsuit and some more Versace cologne. I'm not out of Versace cologne, but the bride loves the Versace cologne, the way it smells on me. So she said, I'm going to go ahead and buy some more so you don't run out. So that's a super cool thing. So that's what I got. Also talked to all my kids, and it's always good to hear from them. You want a little gratitude, right? And so here's the thing. I shared a video yesterday. It was so poignant, too. It's on my Facebook page in case you missed it. But, you know, sometimes being a dad's a thankless job. There's so much expected of us and not a lot appreciated of us. And I say that not to sound self-loathing, but that's the reality. That's the job, right? There's so many times that you put the happiness of other people ahead of your own to ensure that there is harmony within the family. And that's just kind of how it works. I'm not saying that moms don't do that. A lot of moms do that stuff too. But there's just so much as dad that you're expected to do. And you don't always get the thank you. So it's nice at least one day a year that something cool like that happens. And so that's always a good thing. But if you're not a dad and hope to be a dad, you need to talk to other dads and kind of understand what you're getting into. One of the things that I'm a firm believer in is that marriage and raising kids is for grown folks. And there are a lot of ungrown folks that are fathering children and then leaving that responsibility to somebody else. And that is not at all what we support. I can tell you my mom and dad divorced when I was just a toddler. But my dad was incredibly supportive and active in my life, always maintained his financial obligations and always helped buy school clothes and always made sure we had Christmas stuff. There was never, ever, ever any problem with any of that stuff when it came to my parents. And so that's what was patterned for me. And listen, I get it, man. I tell people all the time, if I had stayed home in Columbia, Mississippi, and I don't mean this to be disrespectful to anybody else, but I wanted more for myself. Nothing against Columbia. I love going home, but after I've been there a couple days, sometimes I remember why I left, right? And it's just, you know, it didn't fit me as an adult. But it was a great place to grow up. It was. But if I had stayed home, chances are I'd be working offshore, living in a trailer park, and paying child support to some girl I hate, right? And the reason I say that is so many of my friends, that's the life that they ended up having. And so despite all of that, all of my friends back home that I know that have kids, you know, and outside of their home, right? They took care of those kids. That's an important aspect of this. And something my dad told me years ago, if you're grown enough to lay down with a woman and you're grown enough to help take care of a baby if it comes along. And so those are my feelings. I know I'm old school because I'm from the 1900s, but that's how I feel about it. But yeah, dads don't always get enough love and respect. It's true. It's true whether you admit it or not. It's true. But I spent the day working. I enjoy doing that. Right, there's some people like they work a job that maybe they're not passionate about, and you do what you got to do, right? You got to pay the mortgage, you got to get everything handled, and I get that aspect of it. But you know, for me, I love what we do. I'm very passionate about it. I'm also ultra competitive, and so we spent the day calling your official visitors, and we're going to recap some of that in our first segment of the show. And we have a cool top 10 list, even though it's not really cool these days. We'll talk a little bit about the College World Series and some other things that are going on involving college athletics. But again, hope you had a great weekend. And, you know, one of the things, too, that I think is important, and I had somebody message me just yesterday about this. about how difficult Father's Day is for them because their dad's not in their life. And there's sometimes there are good reasons behind that. Other times it's just because maybe dad's a deadbeat, right? And so I try to be sensitive to that stuff too, because not everybody celebrates the way we do when it comes to things. Not everybody's lived experience is the same. And so you got to be sensitive to that aspect of it too. And I can tell you this year, for some reason, Father's Day was a little more emotional for me. I wrote about my dad on Friday, and it just was. I don't know why. You know, maybe it's because I'm just getting older, you know. But dad's been gone 21 years, and I think about him every single day. And I think about all the things I'd love to be able to tell him, but somehow I think he knows. But in the end, I was very grateful to have a great dad, a great stepdad, Lewis Kraut, and a great grandfather, Warren Jefferson Selman, a name fit for the presidency, to help pattern good behaviors and how to love your wife and how to raise your kids. And, that's I'm so blessed to have been born into that. That's nothing that I achieved. It's something that I was given. It was a gift to have those very strong and hardworking men to help me out. All right, this show is brought to you by Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsor of the show. Man, we love them. We do. We love Bulldog Burger Company. I guarantee you, if you tell your kids, hey, we're going to go out to eat tonight, where do you want to go? Well, Bulldog Burger Company. Yeah, that's where I want to go. It's family friendly. It's friend friendly, right? So if you want to have a lunch with work colleagues, or perhaps maybe an adult beverage after hours, or a nice sit-down dinner with your family, you can accomplish both of those at Bulldog Burger Company. A great menu, so extensive. Find your own favorites. Again, I recommend the Smash Burgers. And when we fly, we get those Biscoff cookies, right? You can get a Biscoff cheesecake now, and it has like a cookie on top. You can eat the cheesecake with the cookie. How great is that? Super cool, right? Get the spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. We all need more of that. And again, three great locations to serve you. University Drive here in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. A great place to eat, a great place to work. Of this, our family can attest. I've had two of my children that have been employees of the Eat With Us group, and they still rave about what a great organization. Ian still works at Bulldog Burger Company. Yeah. And I suspect that he will, as long as he's here in Starkville. And we are so pleased to have been a part of the EatWithUs.com family. You can visit that website and get more information, check out menus, but also get a gift card maybe for somebody that you know that could use a night out on you. What a great gift. A nice meal at a premium restaurant that you don't have to pay for, right? How great is that? You probably got college kids in your life. Maybe you got faculty members. Very thoughtful gift on your behalf. I'm so glad you thought of it. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay, let's take a look back at this recruiting weekend it was. I set the over-under at 4 commitments. Let's just say they're not public yet, okay? Next 48 hours, 7 days, and then probably a week after that, you're going to see this class end up somewhere around 20 commitments. So let me run this down for you. As you guys know, we had 16 visitors. 8 of them were committed, including our quarterback, Gavin Hampton, that joined the crew on Friday. And so just kind of running it back now, you feel good about where we are, about what we could accomplish, and again, some other things left. So no public declarations, but no need to fear, okay? Just relax. Let's start with Mitchell Turner. Rated a 94, rated as the number one college prospect in the state of Mississippi for the 2027 class, Mitchell Turner, defensive tackle from Louisville High School. Got a lot of good Bulldogs down there in Winston County. Mitchell Turner going to make his announcement at some point this week. Now, he says it's down to the schools he took official visits to. And there's a handful of those, you know, Alabama, Texas, Ole Miss, Mississippi State. I'm told it's probably going to boil down to an old Egg Bowl shootout between the Bulldogs and Rebels. And we'll see how that kind of plays out. But that's my feeling today. I think State took some steps forward this weekend. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that he's not going to Ole Miss because I don't know that. But I know that Mississippi State did a good job with him this weekend. Said he had a great visit. Identified Coach Ty Warren as one of the highlights of that trip. So going into the weekend, I thought that we were trailing Alabama, but I've since learned that it appears Alabama is out. Now, he may surprise us, but again, I think in the end, it's a State-Ole Miss thing. And at this point, I can't tell you which way he's going to go. But State is very much in the conversation. And so, you know, we'll see how it plays out. Kennedy Green, a one-time Mississippi State commitment, committed very early in the process, basically to kind of make sure he had something. He didn't make a commitment. He made a reservation. Next thing you know, he's got 40 offers. So it says a little bit about our ability to evaluate talent early on. State was one of his first offers, and the next thing you know, he ends up with, 41 offers? Originally, it was down to Maryland, South Carolina, and Mississippi State. Now it's changed to North Carolina, South Carolina, and Mississippi State. And based on what I'm hearing, I think it's either North Carolina or Mississippi State. There's a reason Kennedy Green committed to Mississippi State in the first place. And I think it says a lot about him and your coaching staff that nobody allowed their ego to get bruised through all of this, right? Because kid commits of his own volition. Nobody pushed him, but he says, hey, I want to do it. Jumps on board and then backs off. There are some coaching staffs who would have just said, forget this kid, right? But your staff didn't do that. They stayed on him. He was hosted by Braylon Womack, obviously one of the best safeties in America last year, and a guy that loves Mississippi State. So we'll kind of see how that plays out too. But I think he's announcing July 11th. Yeah, July 11th. I think it'll be either Mississippi State or North Carolina, and we'll follow up with him as we get a little bit closer because we're still about, you know what, 3 weeks out. But again, Mississippi State did a nice job. Jaden Bayon out of Alexandria, Louisiana, tells me he is going to announce July 1st between Mississippi State and Kentucky. Now, based on my conversation with him, I believe it is going to be Mississippi State. I entered a crystal ball pick in favor of the Bulldogs today. He had a great trip to Starkville. He's already 6'4", 280. You know, so he's going to be a guy that could, you know, he could be a one, a shade, probably a three tack. We'll just kind of see how it all plays out. But I do believe right now that Mississippi State is going to get him. That's how I feel today. And again, we're, you know, about, what, 9 days out? Yeah, 9 days out from that announcement. And again, we'll follow up with him as we get a little bit closer to it. But again, there is confidence right now that we will get him. Offensive lineman LaMarcus Jones, I spoke to him yesterday briefly, and he told me he just didn't want to do any interviews. He's just a little bit in his head a little bit. You know, he surprised many when he committed to Colorado. That was kind of out of the blue. We thought he was going to commit to Mississippi State. I still believe between now and December that he will flip to Mississippi State. It is easy to be committed to Colorado in June. And how many times do we see this for you seasoned recruit Knicks? A kid makes a decision early on, some school halfway across the country, and then in the end they come back and say, well, you know, it's close to home, right? LaMarcus tells me he will make a final decision sometime in August, closer to the start of the season. And he may do it before then. He may do it after then. But right now, this young man is just trying to survive the process. And there was some chatter last week. Is he going to come? Is he not going to come? Is he going to do it in season? Well, he did take the visit. And I'm told the visit went well. But again, LaMarcus just didn't want to go on record. He's just trying to survive. And that there's a lot of pressure on these young people, right? And I think having agents helps some kids, and I think it hurts some kids. And what I mean by that is when you have an agent, well, they can do a lot of this business talk, right? They can talk about what your rev share is going to be. Do you have an NIL deal for us? This is what this school's offering, you know, so they can kind of handle that aspect of it. But on the other side of it, you got some people out there too that really don't know what they're doing. They're just kind of masking as agents, kind of masquerading as agents. And at times, it convolutes the process. I don't know who's repping LaMarcus Jones, so I'm not in any way being critical of his representation. I'm just kind of talking about how perhaps these agents can minimize some of the pressure. When you go out and make a public commitment, but all of a sudden you get all these new followers and everybody's telling you how great they are, and other people are like, oh man, so sorry for this. And a lot of young people have never made an adult decision in their lives. And this is one where they're going to have to disappoint somebody. And it's a difficult thing to do. It's all fun and games, right, when you're getting the offer and you're running it out there. Hey, after a great conversation, you know, with, you know, Coach Smith, I've got this offer from this school. Oh, great conversation with that, you know. You get a lot of attention. You get a lot of followers. That's all being the good news guy. Being the good news guy will attract you a lot of attention. And then all of a sudden you have to kind of turn heel and be the bad news guy to some schools. And then all of a sudden, instead of having, you know, 10 fan bases chasing you and telling you how wonderful you are, now all of a sudden 8 of them are calling you a bum or whatever. And it happens way too much. And so there's just a lot of pressure associated with these decisions, especially when it comes to flips. But ultimately, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. And for some, summer is their favorite season of the year. Travel picks up, kids are out of school, adventure becomes a focus. For others, juggling it all can be tough. It could be overwhelming. Then they start counting down the minutes until the kids are back in school. And you feel like you're wasting all these days of beautiful sunshine. We plan to get out and have some fun as a family too, but we plan to thrive and not just survive. Therapy can help people better understand their needs and feel more confident setting boundaries and create a version of summer that actually feels good. BetterHelp has over 30,000 therapists. It is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally, and it works. With an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on over 1.7 million client reviews. BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct, and they are fully licensed in the United States. The reality of it is you need to learn how to say no. You don't have to say yes to everything. Take advantage of BetterHelp and take charge of your summer. You don't have to say yes. Find support in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off BetterHelp.com. That's better, H-E-L-P.com. I do think LaMarcus Jones will be a Bulldog. That's how I feel today. Deshaun Dillon, very interesting prospect because he has Division I basketball offers too. And that was one of the things in the beginning that kind of felt like it was going to take some time for teams to kind of ramp up to him. And I think he had to kind of prove to people that he was serious about playing college football in favor of college basketball. You know, a lot of guys want to hang on to both long as they can. And you guys know just from what you've learned over the years, you know, the commitment, I mean, just go back and look at Brad Cumbest, right? You know, Brad really began to flourish when he specialized in one sport, when he gave up football for baseball, because his body was broken down all the time. You never got any rest period. Like, he was trying to do spring practice and play baseball. And you wondered why he was always beat up. Well, that's why, right? And so it's kind of like that with guys like Deshaun. So do you make a deal? Well, in the spring, he can go play basketball. Well, what does that mean for spring practice, right? Can a young man physically handle the demands of two sports on the collegiate level? Very few can. It's different in high school. And not to mention, the strength and conditioning program between football and basketball, completely different. Completely different. You can get a little bit too bulky to play basketball. You can get a little bit too lean to play football, running up down the court all the time. And so in some respects, those strength and conditioning programs kind of work in contrast to each other. But Deshaun Dillon, he is planning to announce sometime next month. I don't have the exact date. I do think if Mississippi State pushes him, they will get him. 6'3", 170-pound wide receiver that can truly elevate with a great catch radius. Elijah Cox, he's kind of been a little bit cagey with us. It's been difficult to get a hold of him. Spoke to him briefly, and he's like, hey, I'd like to set up a time. I'm kind of busy right now. We haven't been able to set up a time. That happens in our industry. But Cox was expected to visit Ole Miss this past weekend. He cancels that trip and comes to Mississippi State instead. We kind of kept that quiet for a few days until we could confirm he was actually here before we broke the news, because we didn't want Ole Miss getting on the phone and, like, talking him out of the visit. That happens. That's recruiting. It's something, nothing irregular about it or unethical about it or illegal about it. That's just recruiting. But Cox is a 6'5½", 230-pound edge, great player, teammate of Brandon Allen, who's committed to Mississippi State. We'll talk about him shortly. Again, we had a run of commitments here. We'll talk about Brandon now. Brandon Allen is a guy that committed to Mississippi State and then saw his offer list kind of explode. And he's taken multiple official visits, and everywhere he's gone, he's left those people thinking, oh, he had a great time here, we're going to flip him. When it comes to Mississippi State, kind of regurgitates some of the same verbiage. He says, Coach Levy knows my plan, I know his plan, I've been with them since September. Basically, I think what he's telling everybody is, hey, I'm committed to Mississippi State, but I'm going to keep my options open just in case something happens at Mississippi State. And something could happen. Well, we have a bad season and maybe ultimately undergo a coaching change. And so I think that's what he's saying without saying it. Fair enough? Ron Trey Carter, you may recall, I wrote an article about him at the end of last season. I didn't know anything about him. But there was a video making the rounds of his teammate who threw his helmet off and, you know, got a penalty and gave another team new life, and they kicked a field goal to beat Archbishop Shaw and cost them a state championship. And everybody was calling Gus an idiot and how stupid and selfish, and Ron Trey went out and defended the kid, and I was so impressed by that. I said, we need to amplify this message. No matter where this kid goes to school, we need to make sure that people know this story, that his teammates have his back. And Ron Trey is down to TCU, Houston, and Mississippi State. I've had a couple conversations with him. Not sure how it's going to go, but he does plan to announce this week. I can't sit here and say that I believe Mississippi State is the favorite, and I can't say they're not. You know, again, when you only talk to a kid a couple times, it's tough to kind of get a handle on, you know, what they're saying and what they mean and the split level communication behind it all. He says that he loves Mississippi State. He loves Coach Levy. So we'll see how it plays out. But, you know, he's from New Orleans, Marrero officially. But it's not too far from Houston, Texas, if his mom is so inclined to make that trip. But that's, again, very talented young man that I think will have a good career. Devontre Brewer out of Tupelo, he's another guy that kind of surprised us with a commitment west of the Mississippi. Committed to Stanford when he took an official visit out there. I had some people tell me he kind of got caught up in the moment when he was out there. And he was very open this weekend and said that he wasn't 100% to Stanford. I think in the end, Mississippi State still gets him. I think geography helps out, but also, too, the chance to be closer to home and the chance to play for a school that you've cheered for your whole life. I think all of those factors play into this thing, and I do think ultimately Devontre will be a Bulldog. I just can't put a date and time frame on it. Another commitment that you guys may have been a little bit concerned about, Javarius Griffin Jr., another guy that committed to State of his own volition, was supposed to visit Georgia Tech, did visit Duke. And Manny Diaz is our friend, but of course Manny Diaz is out there recruiting against us, as he should. That is his job. That's what he's supposed to do. That's his mandate. And basically, the staff at Duke is trying to convince Griffin that, like, Coach Levy and his staff aren't going to be here next year. I don't believe that at all. I do think that we'll win enough games this year. I think we will take some steps forward this year. I absolutely believe that. And so Javarius wants to play at Mississippi State. But, again, I think he's a kid, kind of like Brandon Allen, that, like, I'm not going to completely shut it down until I feel comfortable that the guys recruiting me are going to be there when I'm there. And I think that's fair. But I do think JG is good. I think he will be fine with State. I think it's just one of those things where he's committed, but maybe it's difficult for him to take the full step and just say, hey, I'm done with everybody else, because I think he wants to maintain relationships – just to ensure that he has a school of his liking is a plan B. And I do think Duke is the plan B. And then everybody else was committed. And it's so interesting, too, when we talk about these summertime commitments. I ran the numbers on this morning. You know, State, back on the weekend of May 28th, we hosted 9 visitors. 7 of those 9 have already committed. Yes, they picked up Jalen Kello that weekend. Offensive lineman DeJon Yarborough has still not committed. Frederick Ford is going to announce his decision later this week. It will be streamed on the 247 Sports platform for those of you that are so inclined to watch. That's going to happen. Let me give you the details here. It's going to be Thursday. I don't guess we have a time. But Thursday, June 25th, Frederick Ford will decide between LSU, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Tennessee, and Michigan. So we'll keep you apprised again as we get a little bit closer on Wednesday's show. Hopefully we'll have some new intel and we know what's happening there. So 7 of the 9 visitors from that weekend have made their college decisions. 2 of them remain available. Of the 9 visitors from last week, or 2 weeks ago, pardon me, June 12th, I guess it would have been last week. Of those 9, 8 of those 9 have made their decisions. And, of course, you know, 5 of them are Mississippi State guys. Kyron Caldwell, who visited Alabama this past weekend, is the lone undeclared prospect from the June 12th visit list. Now, Jaylen Hill is a young man. I'm really impressed with him. He committed to Missouri over the weekend. Judah Gums committed to Arkansas over the weekend. And Julian McDonald, Mississippi State commitment, he committed actually 2 weeks ago today, got an offer from LSU over the weekend. So maybe some of you that were kind of downplaying his ability will feel a little bit better about it now. And still, Kelsey Adams is another guy, too, that's committed to Georgia but continuing to conversate with the programs. And then we get to this weekend, you know. And, again, 16 visitors, 8 of them committed to Mississippi State. I think there's a good chance that State picks up at least half of these outstanding guys, possibly as many as 6. And again, some of these guys I think have already made a decision and they're just kind of simply waiting to announce. And so I know high school recruiting may not be what it once was in the eyes of many fans, but the batting average for the most part for State I think is pretty good here. And again, you work back through this, it's 34 visitors in all for now. Because 9 plus 9 is 18, plus 16 is 34. I was a public school product, but I get that. Of those 34 visitors, we have been able to interview 32 of them. There are 2 from the weekend that are still outstanding. You know, LaMarcus Jones, again, didn't want to talk, and Elijah Cox is another we've had trouble getting up with. But we're the only people that can say that. The only place that you can find immediate reaction from players that visited this past weekend is at jeanspage.com. So if that's your bag, if you want to keep up with everything that's going on and kind of get to know these players and, you know, why they chose Mississippi State, what they're hearing from Mississippi State, you need to subscribe at jeanspage.com. And again, we got all 9 visitors the first 2 weekends, and our goal is at some point this week to get the other 2. And we always want to be respectful of what's going on with the young people. Like Mitchell Turner, like just yesterday, someone close to Mitchell Turner reached out to me and said, hey, can you give him a day? He's a little bit confused. I said, that's fine with me, right? It's fine. You know, so we got him today, right? And so we always want to be respectful. We want to get immediate reaction when we can, but sometimes it can be a little bit overwhelming for the kids. And they may talk to other media outlets, and hey, that's just part of it. But, you know, I don't know what was communicated to everybody else. I just know I gave my word that we would give him some time. I even texted him and told him. I said, hey, I understand you may want to wait and talk tomorrow. That's perfectly fine. And guess what? He did, right? He did. And we're very appreciative of that. But again, 14 of the 16 visitors have been interviewed within the last day and a half. And if you want to read what they had to say about your school and about where things stand with their recruitment, the only place you can do it is jeanspage.com. And we're excited to bring you the most comprehensive coverage of Mississippi State athletics on a day-to-day basis. And you know, already kind of working into tomorrow and working on some other stuff, too. You know, I got some other things we'll tell you about a little bit later. Some bigger stories that I'm working on, and I'll share a little bit with that in the last segment of the show. But I think it's one of those things, too, There are some stories in the headlines that have a little bit of local impact, obviously. And I think it's important for you guys to get some answers about that. And it makes people nervous. Like when you start asking questions that people would prefer not to answer, and then you keep asking questions of other people, and word kind of gets around that you're digging, people begin to find you, and other people begin to avoid you. And both of those are positive signs, right? Right? Because it's usually the guilty people that run. And then eventually when you catch up with them, you can tell them everything that you've learned and see if you can't get them to comment. But and other times they don't want to talk to you. But as I communicate to a lot of people, this story is going to get written with or without your permission or your quotes. It would probably behoove you to at least send me some information so I know your side of the story. It's been a while since I put on my detective hat and began to work this. I guess last year around November, we worked through some things last year. And just kind of part of the whole deal. But a couple big stories coming your way. We'll make them free over at Gene's Page. That's how important it is. It's not something we're going to put behind a paywall because I think it's something all of you should be able to read. All right, time for today's top 10 list, brought to you by closewithblair.com. C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. Blair is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. It's true. And you never know where you're going to need a friend like that. So I encourage you to save his phone number and your phone, since we're all friends here, 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. Just save it as mortgage guy. You might forget his name. You won't forget your needs. And he can help fill those needs. And so I encourage you to solicit the services of one Blair Chandler. Get his 25 years of expertise and know-how working for you. Whether it's your first home, your next home, your retirement home, or perhaps that game day condo that you've so coveted, it may be more affordable than you think. And if you're not ready, Blair can put you on the path to get ready. Maybe you've been turned down in the past. Perhaps it wasn't necessarily all your fault. Maybe you just didn't have an experienced loan originator that knew how to construct your loan to give you the best chance to clear underwriting. Well, I'm happy to share my friends with you because you're my friends too. Again, that's Blair Chandler at closewithblair.com. Okay, if I can get it out. Today is June 22nd. The first day of summer was yesterday. It's now officially summer. And at times over the course of the last few weeks, it felt like summer. We had a little cool weather. Thursday, I guess it was. Felt like football weather. We're out there covering football camp. So that was nice. Earlier this year, when we went out to prospect camps, you know, your boy wore a tank top, and I'm still sporting the tan lines. No pictures, but it's true. But summer is here, so I thought, hey, let's dial up some rock songs about summer. Now, some of these have been repeats. We've done this list a couple times, and some songs of the rock genre about summer are just summer classics. So here we go. But I threw you a couple curveballs this time, too. And let me just say, rock is a very loose term this go-around, okay? And what I mean by that is we got some punk rock. We got some pop punk rock. We got some rock radio. We got some real rock. Got some classic rock. Got some top 40 rock. Got a lot of rock for you right here on this show. Let's start. Many of you grew up with this band, and it was probably your favorite little pop punk band. It's Sum 41 with Summer. Yeah, and Sum 41 was a fun band, right? There's a lot of bands out there that take themselves too seriously, like you're trying to be the next version of Sex Pistols. I mean, come on, you can't do it. Okay, stop. Not going to happen. But Sum 41 was just like a fun band. Many of you, that kind of takes you back to your high school, maybe your early college years, and it's a nostalgia act for you. But hey, they had a few hits. Number nine, and these guys were basically a one-hit wonder because of a Michael Jackson cover. But they've got a song called Summer as well that's pretty cool. We're talking Alien Ant Farm. Of course, you know them for their cover of Smooth Criminal. Who knew? Who knew that the Michael Jackson classic Smooth Criminal could be turned into a modern rock song at the time? It's not so modern now, but it was a cool rendition. And it probably made Michael Jackson a lot of money too, at least his estate. because people went back and listened to the original. It was introduced to a new generation. But Summer, cool track. Number eight, a band that had a huge following. They were more in the alternative rock crowd in the 80s. And I can't remember the name of the VH1 show, but they had this show where they would get bands to reunite for like one show. And they got this band to reunite. And I remember watching that documentary. And the lead singer of the band, The Alarm, after a fight backstage, walks out and says, "Hey, this is my last show ever with The Alarm." And it was until they reunited for that the one show. And I think they did some dates after that. But we're going to go with Rain in the Summertime. It's not a gloomy song, though. This guy actually likes Rain in the Summertime. You better like Rain in the Summertime around here, because it's going to pop up showers almost every day. Makes it hard to keep the grass cut around here when you got 4.5 acres. Number seven. You guys know I love guitar tone. And this is some great guitar tone. I think we got some Les Paul action going here. But it's Blue Oyster Cult's This Ain't the Summer of Love. And it's an interesting dichotomy. You know, it's like you had the hippie movement in the late 60s. And you had the Summer of Love and Woodstock and all that. And you had a lot of folk music. This is kind of like, you know, hey, we're not them, right? We're here to rock. We're going to be unapologetic about it. We don't have a flute in our band. We're not going to play the mandolin in our band. We're going to plug in our amps, and we're going to rock your face off. It's Blue Oyster Cult. Number six, and this band had a pretty good following, too, in the early to mid-80s. And again, it's kind of adult contemporary rock. It's a band called The Motels. And some of you say, "Steve, you're talking about The Hotels." No. There was The Hotels and there was The Motels, right? Two different bands. And The Motels had their biggest hit with a track called "Only the Lonely." Maybe you remember that one. Yeah, early 80s, top 10 hit. And but they had a follow-up track that was pretty cool too, and it's called "Suddenly Last Summer." And it's basically about, you know, every year not a whole lot happens, but then something big happens. Martha Davis, the lead singer, and they're back on the road too. Like they formed in the 70s and then broke up for a while, got back together, and began to kind of have some success. Broke up again, went on hiatus for about a dozen years or so. Reunited, they're kind of a nostalgia act, but still played. Yeah, so you can go see The Motels. And yeah, super cool stuff, man. I think again, it's not a rock song, it's just kind of, it was a big hit on radio, right? It also was a top 10 hit. But I guess three or four top 40 hits maybe when it's all said and done. But The Motels, "Suddenly Last Summer." Number five. Now, while this guy probably hit the MTV lottery because he got to marry Daisy Fuentes, and her name is actually Daisy C. Fuentes, but Daisy C. Fuentes is a little bit much. We're talking Richard Marx and that big hair, and everybody, whether you want to admit it or not, when you were in love as a teenager, there was a Richard Marx song for you. Right? And the guy had some massive hits. He did. And I remember some time ago, he was trending on Twitter, and we found out that he helped subdue an unruly passenger on an airplane. And when he started trending, people thought he had died. But no, instead he was a hero. Richard Marx, him and that big hair, holding it down at 35,000 feet. Good job, Richard. But it's "Endless Summer Nights," because I remember the way you held me, right? And those "Endless Summer Nights." Yeah, it's a great track. It is. And that was the thing, too. Like, we, in my generation, we loved the slow jams. We did. And you had, like, a slow jams tape that was like a date night tape. We would make those. And sometimes you'd have some R&B. Like, just the other day, I was listening to "I'll Be Sure." Because that's who I am, right? I you never know what I'm listening to. It's true. It's true. But we had a mixtape. You kids will never understand. But well, we've got a playlist. It's different. It's different. We didn't just click a bunch of buttons. We had to go record these cassettes. We had dual cassette players, one that would play the song, one that would record the song. We put a mixtape together, the date night mixtape. And you may have some Babyface on there. Maybe some After Seven. Definitely some Keith Sweat. But you worked in some other stuff too. A lot of times too, you had a mixtape depending on the musical taste of the girl you were going out with. So maybe you had a girl that liked rock music, so you'd have like some Whitesnake or some Winger or some Kix. Maybe some Motley Crue, some Rat. Yeah. You did. Other times, you'd have other girls that were more top 40 girls. And so we were somewhat chameleon because we enjoyed dating those girls. And so we put these tapes together. And it showed also, too, that you made the effort, right? Hey, it's date night. It's our first date, our second date, or whatever. Hey, I made a mixtape just for tonight. And the girls were always so impressed. But you had to make sure you talk to some friends to kind of find out what songs she didn't like, because you don't want to ruin the mood by putting a Crocus track on there or something like that. You know, if she was anti-Madonna, well, you didn't put Madonna on there. You just didn't do it. You know, there's just things. There was a rule to all this. It's true. But Richard Marx was on a lot of those tapes. Number four, this is an underappreciated song from Van Halen. It is, and it's from the 5150 album, and if I'm not mistaken, it closes the record. But I love it, and I loved it way back when. I love it now. I can put it on, and just, it's so chill, and it's got such a good vibe to it, and the vocal on it is incredible, and of course, there's Sir Edward laying it down, especially that opening intro. It's Summer Nights off 5150. Summer Nights in my radio? Are you kidding me? Let's go, man. All right, number three. I have to work this one in all the time, just because of the fact I don't think many of you gave this band the chance they deserve. We're talking Y&T. My first tape of theirs was Lipstick and Leather, and then I had Contagious, and I still jam Contagious to this day. Love the big 80s chorus. But probably their biggest hit on MTV was Summertime Girls, because you had these rock girls out there, instead of putting suntan oil on, they were putting like motor oil on their legs, wearing leather and stuff. And so it was a nice little contrast. But it's a great track. It's a happy song. And it's also part of the Real Genius motion picture soundtrack with Val Kilmer. And for many of us, that was our gateway movie to Val Kilmer, who eventually became Doc Holliday. It's true. God rest his soul. But Summertime Girls, Y&T, number three. Number two. This is still a great song. I don't know why somebody didn't cover it. And maybe I should. Maybe you and I should put a band together and we'll just go cover this. And we'll change it from Summer of 69 to Summer of 89, right? Man, it's such a great song of nostalgia. Even though he's referencing a time before most of us were alive. Incredible song. Maybe we should all get together and go see Bryan Adams. Maybe we should. That Reckless album is legit, right? Every song on there is legit, and it feels like a hit. And man, that album was so remarkable. Such a big part of our youth. But number one, it's Don Henley. It's The Boys of Summer. And of course, the Ataris covered it, and I like both versions. But I remember when Boys of Summer came out with Don Henley, what a huge hit it was. And of course, we thought, when he's referencing Boys of Summer, about it's not, we were thinking it's the summer romance stuff, right? So like these dudes come to town or whatever, you know, everybody's on vacation and, you know. And so my love for you will still be strong after the Boys of Summer have gone, right? And to me, that's even now, maybe it's still a double entendre. It makes a lot of sense to me. So like if we live and work at the Jersey Shore, when all these vacationers are gone, I'm going to love you even when these people are gone. They may be the, you know, a cute option now, but it's basically a song about love, but Boys of Summer was about baseball. But again, I think there's some creative writing. I think he took some liberties with it. It is an incredible song, and I love the guitar on this too. Of course, it doesn't have like, you know, the rock and amplification and the, you know, the big chorus, but There's just something about the composition of this song that really does it for me. So that's my top rock song of summer of all time. Boys of Summer from Don Henley, of course, the former drummer and vocalist of the Eagles. Yeah, super cool. Of course, he sang Hotel California. And it's so funny, too. We were in L.A. Dan and I were in L.A. And right off the strip there, there is a Hotel California. But it's like some rinky-dink place. Then it's like, hey, it's a Hotel California. Well, the Hotel California is actually in extreme South California. It's out near San Diego, you know, on a dark desert highway, right? Cool wind in my hair. There's no desert highway in downtown Los Angeles or even off, you know, the strip, the Sunset Strip. There is no desert highway there. So just want to get that out there. But nevertheless, I enjoyed this list. I hope you do too. And again, I think maybe we've reminded you of some great bands that maybe you've forgotten. I have a lot of people that tell me, Steve, that's one thing I appreciate about the top 10 list. You turn me on to new stuff and remind me of old stuff that I love. And we're happy to do that. Roy and Missy, the family Samanti, were in Hawaii last week. So he's a little bit behind with our show, getting our songs up on Spotify. He promises to get that done this week. You can't hide money, right? I'd love to be able to go to Hawaii for a week too, wouldn't you? Roy went. Maybe the Boneyard's paying him too much. Maybe. Maybe he needs to go to Gulf Shores like the rest of us. Or Biloxi. Maybe. Or maybe Wiggins. You know, maybe. But nevertheless, yeah, Roy's back, and we'll get that stuff together. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is to hit up Roy Samanti on X at Dogmatic67. It's DawgMatic67. And you can find our great list on Spotify under that same handle, Dogmatic67. And I'm on all forms of social media at ScoutSteveR. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart. Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, we love them. We do. And why? Well, they got stuff we want. We're not complicated creatures. You don't have to go reinvent the wheel to give us a nice gift. When it comes to gift buying time in your life, think Campus Bookmart. Think Bulldog merch for Bulldog fans. Nothing could make us happier than getting new Mississippi State merch. It is a very simple gift, but a very meaningful and thoughtful gift. When you get ready to buy a housewarming gift, birthday gift, belated Father's Day gift, think Campus Bookmart. Stop by and see their smiling faces the next time you're in Starkville. You'll be glad you did. If you can't make it to town, or perhaps game day is a difficult shopping day for you, hit them up on the World Wide Web, courtesy of Al Gore's Internet, at campusbookmart.net. And use promo code BSR to get free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. All right, let's update the portal a little bit too. You know, things kind of move a little quickly, and states had some changes since we've spoken last, as you guys are well aware. So we've had some outgoing dogs that have found new homes that we congratulate them in doing so. Mississippi State's first entrant into the portal was Patrick Spencer. He is now inked with Southeastern Louisiana. Happy for he and his family, and I think that he'll be able to do a good job there. Of course, Andrew Raymond, NC State, James Nunnally, TCU. Chris Billingsley has not announced a destination yet. Peyton Fowler, a guy that I thought showed some promise for us, headed to South Alabama. He did visit Tennessee and a couple other places. I think Alabama was one. Brother went to Alabama. And so it made sense. But Peyton wants more innings, and I suspect he'll get those at South Al. Right? To get an SEC pitcher, a guy that had a very good junior college career, a guy that can start and wants to start, will have a chance to go down there and compete for a starting spot. Worst case scenario, you know, he becomes a spot starter and a middle reliever, which is kind of what he was intended to be here, but it kind of took him a while to get going. But happy for Peyton. Great young man. Wish him the best. Of course, Peter Merchant's headed to Coastal Carolina. Charlie Foster heading to Ole Miss. A lot of reaction to that out there, right? And the thing that I would say is, you know, once a guy chooses to go in the portal, especially a guy like Charlie Foster, that was contemplating staying, but let's be honest, we've kind of known for a while this is probably what was going to happen, at least him going into the portal. We didn't know that he would ultimately end up at Ole Miss, but you know, when you've got Valinkas, Ryan McPherson, and Duke Stone returning, and all those guys will be first or second round draft picks next summer, well, Charlie's kind of the odd man out, right? And so he needed to hit the portal. I thought he'd end up somewhere like Kennesaw State or somewhere like that, a place where they'd be happy to have him and the opportunity to start right away. Heading to Ole Miss, we'll see what they do with him. Obviously, the Ole Miss rotation should be wide open next year. They're losing a lot of arms, so Charlie could find a role there. Yeah, we'll see what happens. But I wish him the best against everybody but us. And, of course, Tyler Pitzer, as expected, headed to South Carolina, back to South Carolina. And Dane Burns, Jackson Logar, Nick Frontino, and a new entrant, Charlie Wortham, have not announced decisions yet. Charlie, of course, goes in over the weekend. And so that's an interesting dynamic, too. And, of course, you know, State picked up Jackson Scheinflew out of South Alabama just here recently. And so that he's an interesting pickup. You know, for a few reasons, and number one, he's a left-hander that's thrown a lot of innings, and he's a guy that knows he's a reliever. He's not going to come in here and you know, be all you know, been out of shape or anything, you know, about how it all kind of goes down with him, you know. So he joined us just 3 days ago, and kind of looking at the Jackson Scheinflew file for you, I gave an in-depth scouting report over jeanspage.com for. Our members there, another reason that you should be there, because we're not just going to give you the shorts. We're going to give you kind of the intel, the juice. And so looking at what Jackson did this year, got 175 college innings. Man, you got to love that, right? An experienced guy that knows how to get outs. But kind of working through this, you can see that this guy fills a need for us. He went 5-2 last year. Had a 4.25 ERA, like to see that come down a little bit, but 18 appearances, 17 out of the bullpen, but threw 55 innings. Gave up less than a hit per at 47, 26 earned runs. Again, got to get that down a little bit, but here's the number that jumps out. 63 strikeouts against 15 walks. Guys, that's over 4-1. Batting average against is .232, and he has been absolutely deadly against right-handed hitting. It's a big part of this thing with him. But unlike a lot of left-handed hitters, or left-handed pitchers, pardon me, he is not just a straight matchup guy. This is a guy that can throw multiple innings. He is a true middle reliever, and he's a guy that can spot start for you if you need it. But this is a good addition for Mississippi State, and I think something we should all be excited about. And that's the thing, too. You look at it now. We have 7 commitments, and again, we expect to be in the low double digits. But you've gone out and gotten a utility guy that could be a catcher, an outfielder, and Brady Christman. You got Jake Sauters, an outfielder from Samford. And then Joshua Overbeek, we talked about him extensively. Nolan Graw, of course, picked him up. Good addition there. But you got 3 guys that have worked primarily out of the bullpen throughout their careers. You guys know as well as I do, we had to go get some corner infielders, some corner outfielders, and some bullpen arms. And we are achieving that objective. I saw a Facebook comment earlier, and if you want to be misinformed, that's the way to go. Guy said, man, we've been so quiet in the portal. I'm like, what are you talking about? We got top 10 portal class. How have we been silent in the portal? I don't understand sometimes you know, what we're doing, what we're talking about, who we're talking to, where we're getting this information from. That'd make a lot of sense. But, yeah, Mississippi State with the number 7 portal class in the country right now, and 6 of our 7 players are listed in the top 250 according to 64 Analytics. And, again, Arkansas still with the top class, Miami 2nd, A&M is 3rd, Kentucky 4, Oklahoma 5, LSU 6, Mississippi State 7, Virginia right there at 8, South Carolina and Ole Miss all kind of right behind us. But you know, we're right there in the thick of things. And let's be honest, LSU has kind of been the portal kings, them in Georgia, in recent years. But now Mississippi State right there with them, right? And so I don't know how anybody can say that we've been silent in the portal. And kind of breaking it down by SEC numbers, And then it's ledger sometimes is difficult to navigate. But in the SEC, the Bulldogs, right there at sixth in the conference. So Arkansas, A&M, Kentucky, Oklahoma, LSU, that's your top five. Then the Bulldogs, then South Carolina, Ole Miss, Florida, Alabama, Missouri, and the Portal Kings of Georgia, and they'll make a move late. Auburn, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, and Texas. So, again, there's some good players, but it's just an interesting dynamic. And, again, so many people, again, we think we know, but we don't know. We just think that we know. And so looking at outgoing traffic, because everybody thinks, oh, man, Steve, why do we have so many? South Carolina with 23, Tennessee with 20, Missouri with 13, Kentucky with 12, State with 11, Florida with 10. And then from there, Arkansas, LSU, and Vanderbilt with 7, Auburn and Texas with 6, Georgia with 5, A&M 4, Ole Miss 4, Oklahoma 3, and Alabama just 2. And you say, well, man, those teams should be loaded. Well, a lot of those teams towards the bottom have had guys that are graduated, and they've got guys that are draft eligible that are not expected to be back next year. And so the rosters will look a lot different come this time next year. And obviously, you knew South Carolina would probably fare pretty well in this thing because a lot of those players from Coastal are coming in, and South Carolina leads the Southeastern Conference with 12 portal commitments. Kentucky with 11, Arkansas with 10, A&M 8, along with Ole Miss, Missouri, Oklahoma, and then State there at 7. And so I just shared that because I think sometimes the news needs a little context. That's one of the most important things as we work through this. It's like, what are we doing in relation to our contemporaries? Well, we're right there in the thick of it. Right there in the thick of it. And I think that's an important thing to understand. Is we are not among the top when it comes to defective players. And we're also, you know, one of the best teams in the country so far when it's come to constructing a portal class. And again, we expect it to settle somewhere around the low double digits. So we're probably 3 to 5 players away from being done with this thing. And then, of course, we'll have to navigate through the draft. And you may pick up one after the draft. I'm not saying you're going to get 3 to 5 in the next week, but you know, we got a couple out there that are hoping to make a decision this week, and hopefully that goes our way, and that'll give us a lot less to worry about as we get into the draft. But you never know how that high school class is going to look once the draft is over. And again, Brian O'Connor's done a good job over the years of ensuring that they get quality pro prospects to campus. He did it at Virginia and, of course, did it last year. I mean, he got Jacob Parker and Jack Bauer to campus last year. And Parker Rhodes was another one that got calls and decided to come too. And we expect a bigger role from him next year. But those are the things that, again, some nuance to all of this. It's not just the numbers. You kind of understand how it all works and can be contextualized based with the rest of your league and the teams that you're competing with to get to Omaha. And there's Mississippi State right in the thick of things. Very important. And kind of, you know, looking back here, too, at a couple things of note with this, you know, Mississippi State, you know, class. I'm navigating through this as we go, as you probably have heard, as you hear me typing. But, you know, Jake Sauter's the 24th player in the country in the portal. Brady Christman, 48. Jackson Scheinflew, 68. So that's another top 70 player for Mississippi State. Overbeek is 181. I think that's a little bit low. And then Zach Russell's 200. And then Nolan Graw is 230. The only player not listed in the top 250 is Carson Fair. And he's way down there at 504. But he's a piece for us. He's a piece. So I think that's an important thing, too. Again, you work through this, you're like, okay, well, we've only got 7, but then 6 of the 7 are in the top 250. So, no, we haven't been silent in the portal. And listen, I'm not going to be critical of anybody for their own level of engagement, right? That you have time to look into this when you do. But let's not get out there and be a negative Nelly when we don't have the information. That's important to understand, because there's a lot of other people out there don't have that information and may assume you do. And then you don't know. And there's some people that live in these Facebook groups. I think there is just, there is like a sick macabre twist to all of this. Like they just want to get out there and vent and hopefully find a friend that'll vent along with them. And my hope is, if you listen to this show, we give you the information that you can kind of provide some balance to that. Because if they're the only ones talking, they're the only voices that get heard. And that's important to understand, too. For those of you that have kept up, it looks like Oklahoma. It's not over yet, but it looks like Oklahoma may win the national championship. And what's so interesting is I remember talking to Zach Selman last year when all this was Oklahoma's AD spot opened up, and I told him, I said, Zach, I'll just tell you, if you want to win a national championship in baseball, you better stay here. Not going to happen at Oklahoma, and then here we are, right? Freezing cold takes. But, yeah, it's I will miss college baseball when it's done. I will be grateful when we get a little downtime. You know, we'll get through the portal, and we'll get through the draft, and then we'll have a couple of weeks. And then, you know, preseason football can start. But, you know, we're going to take some time as a family, middle of July. I'll give you guys a little lead time before that. We'll do our best to kind of keep you apprised of and we'll have guys that can, you know, help you with the coverage and stuff. But I am going to take some time off. But, yeah, but it looks like Oklahoma well on their way to winning the NAFL championship. And that's one of those things, too, I think also, too, kind of reinforces the point that Ron Polk has always made. It's not the best team that wins an NFL championship. It's a team that gets hot at the right time. And that's when you look at this Oklahoma thing, they have absolutely been on fire since the NCAA tournament started. What a great job Skip Johnson and his staff have done. It's absolutely remarkable. But when you start thinking about college baseball national championships, you know, like I know some of you are like, hey, I root against the other SEC teams. And I typically do. Not all of them, but some. But we're not going to recruit head-to-head with Oklahoma very often. It's not going to happen, right? But, you know, when you begin to kind of look back at this and, you know, kind of see, you know, who's done what, you know, it's impressive to think about what the SEC, you know, has done. And I think that's one of those things that maybe – a lot of people around college baseball are envious of. Everybody says, well, it's the SEC bias. And then the number 11 team in our conference wins the national championship. And again, you can't say that they were given a cush job. They're one of the last teams in the tournament. And they get placed at Georgia Tech, the number two overall national seed. They beat the ACC champion. They beat the Big 12 champion. And they beat the SEC champion. And now they're going to beat one of the best teams in the ACC. And it'll be another SEC championship. The last time that a team outside of the Southeastern Conference won the national championship, can you guess when it was? Most of you know. It was 2018, the team that ultimately eliminated Mississippi State from the College World Series, Oregon State, back in 18. And again, the last time an ACC team won a national championship, 2015 with Brian O'Connor at Virginia. They beat Vanderbilt. And so it's just, again, you go back, again, we talk about, you know, the SEC and the dominance of the SEC. Prior to this year in 2024, excuse me, last year LSU played Coastal. The year before that, Tennessee played A&M. LSU played Florida. And, of course, 2 years before that, Mississippi State played Vanderbilt. So it hadn't just been the SEC team winning it. More times than not, it's been two SEC teams playing head-to-head. And that's, you know, again, if you're Arkansas, and man, God bless Arkansas. I mean, they're committed to baseball. And, you know, of course, that 2018 College World Series, it's etched in their memory, Carson Shaddy overrunning that pop-up that would have ultimately ended the game and given Arkansas the national championship. They're sitting here tonight watching Oklahoma win the national championship in a year when Oklahoma was just kind of average when it comes to SEC play. They got hot a little bit late, kind of put some things together. But no, they weren't a dominant team at all by any stretch of the imagination. And so it's like the nightmare just kind of continues for Arkansas. And it's just a matter of time, I think, before Arkansas wins one. But to make matters worse, Arkansas took 2 out of 3 from Oklahoma in the regular season. Yeah, so let that kind of sink in. That Sunday game turns into a church league softball game that Oklahoma salvages 15-10. You go back and wonder a little bit, like if Arkansas sweeps this series, Arkansas's hosting somewhere. Does West Virginia make it as a host if Arkansas wins this game? Does Oklahoma make the tournament if Arkansas wins this game? Right? Every game matters. Every inning matters. Every pitch matters. And again, when you go back and look at the totality of the season, you can see how it all just kind of comes together. And you're like, this makes a lot of sense now. And again, you just got to win the games in front of you. And once you get into the NCAA tournament, anything can happen. And, you know, what's happening in Omaha is a great representation of that. And then, of course, you look at North Carolina. And we discussed this just last week as we kind of previewed all this stuff. But in North Carolina, you know, dare we say an elite baseball program? They've never won the College World Series. They were the runner-up in 06 and 07. They've never won one. And they're one of the more invested teams in the country in college baseball and have not been able to climb to the top of the mountain. 13 trips to the College World Series. That's one more than us. We've been a dozen times. They've been 13 times. And so they're, you know, one of those teams that you look at and talk about, you know, it's almost like the Florida State thing, right? It's crazy how it's all kind of plays out, but, you know, there's just something about those ACC teams. And it's not like they don't go out and play some games. They do. But for one reason or another, and it's one of those things, too, you start thinking about, you know, how does this all run? Right? How do you fix it? And right here's the list of, let me count these. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah. The 11 teams with the most appearances in Omaha without a NAFL championship. There are 4 teams tied for what is technically 8th place. Western Michigan, believe it or not, that's years and years ago. St. John's, Auburn, and Louisville have been 6 times and have not won an AFL championship. Maine, yeah, been a long time, right? Maine has 7 appearances. Then we kind of get into some beefier stuff. Texas A&M has been to Omaha 8 times, hadn't won it. Runner-up once. Northern Colorado, and we're going way back, 10 appearances. They've only got 3 wins in Omaha in history, no championships. And then 4 names you know well. North Carolina, Clemson, and Arkansas have all been to Omaha 12 times. North Carolina, of course, goes this year to make it 13. So after this, if this game holds, North Carolina will have the 2nd most appearances in College World Series history without a championship, with 13, trailing only Florida State with 24. I mean, it's almost become a meme at this point, right? 24 appearances and no national championships. And for years and years and years, it made a little sense because the ACC really wasn't that strong. You had Florida State and then a couple of other schools. And you know, Clemson was good, obviously. North Carolina was good. But outside of that, like the bottom half of that league just wasn't very good. And so Florida State kind of like would beat up on the bottom half of that league and then maybe split with Clemson, split with North Carolina. But the record was so beefy, they were always like preseason number one. And so they kind of got pigeonholed in some respects because they appeared to be an elite team nationally that played in kind of a B-rate league like through the 80s. ACC is a much better league today, much better. More of those teams are investing in baseball. And so, and also, if you've noticed too, Florida State doesn't dominate the ACC like they once did. So that's where we sit. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle, bar none, especially when you're bringing a large group to town, and you should. You've always thought about it. I mean, how cool would that be to have the people I love the most under one roof? And maybe it's not our place, right? It's maybe it's a little bit nicer than what we're used to, and this probably is. It's the old renovated Country Club Clubhouse out past the Highlands off 182, just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. So if it's a ball game weekend, you can do your tailgating right there, right? You don't have to lug all that stuff to campus. You can just tailgate out there. Save yourself a little time and effort. And maybe you enjoy tailgating. So then it just makes it easier to be 5 minutes away, right? Makes it a lot easier. But even if it's not a ballgame weekend, it's a great place and a great time to go stay. Maybe this summer you've got some vacation time you need to utilize. Maybe just do a staycation here in Starkville. Maybe just come enjoy your favorite city in the world and frequent your favorite restaurants and shops. And maybe it's not so busy and frenetic like it is a game day weekend. You don't have to wait as long for a table, right? And so come up here and just kind of enjoy the hometown feel of Stark Vegas. Now, Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you do, their Facebook page will auto-populate. You can peruse all the pictures of the amenities that are available to you, and they don't do them justice. Also, you need to understand, you can do everything there that you can do at home. Full-service kitchen, wet bar, great back porch area, much nicer than the one you have. And the fire pit area, plenty of parking. That's an underrated amenity because when you think we're getting everybody together, where's everybody going to park? No worries there, right? Very expansive parking lot. Maybe it's a baby shower weekend and you know, everybody's going to hang out and spend the afternoon together and you don't have to worry about go plugging, changing a meter or something or having to pay to park, right? It's a great amenity and probably a little bit underappreciated. Now, when you do that Google search, some booking options are going to pop up. Airbnb, Vrbo, or you can save some money and book through the Evolve website. Evolve website, BSR10, BSR10. That gets you 10% off your stay. Be sure and check it out today. You'll be glad you did. The Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Okay. Now, I want to make sure there's a couple things here. When you guys are not practicing journalists, okay, most of you. Right, the overwhelming majority, you consume journalism or what passes for journalism these days, and a lot of it's fast food journalism. But when you approach big stories, you have to be open-minded. And I share that because I'm working on a couple things. One of these things, it's weeks in the works, and it still may be a week or two before I get finished. But let's start with the Roger Wicker thing. Many of you, right out of the gate, saw that Roger Wicker voted against the Save College Sports Act and were critical. I'm not ready to be critical because I don't know why he voted against it. So I get on the phone. I call his office in Washington, D.C., leave a message. They called me back this morning. They have connected me with his communications guy. And so I have asked, and we're awaiting a response. You know, hey, why was this not the right bill? What is it about the bill that you oppose? Now, some people would say maybe Roger Wicker is voting his conscience. I am told, and again, we're working to confirm this, I am told that he actually was in consultation with some of the university leaders within the state of Mississippi, and that he sought their counsel before voting. As you guys know, the SEC and the Big Ten are both against this bill. I'd like to know why. And so that's one of the things that we're working on. I've reached out to Wicker. I've reached out to some people within the league. Tell me what's wrong with this piece of legislation. I just want to know. And I think you guys need to know, and you deserve to know, why your elected leaders vote the way they do. And again, I want a bill to pass But I want it to be a bill that makes sense. We've got to get some guardrails around this stuff. And so what's best for college athletics as a whole, I think, is best for the SEC. There are some people that may disagree. But I am open-minded enough to listen to those arguments. I would like to know what is the thought process, what is the nuance that I'm missing. Obviously, these people work in college athletics. They will understand the cause and effect better than you and I do. And I think you deserve to know that. And so that's a story we're working on. I hope it goes to publication this week. We'll find out, you know. But I had somebody tell me that Roger Wicker basically took a bullet for State and Ole Miss. And so I'm trying to get to the bottom of that too. And so we want to write about this, and we want it to be educational and informative. It is not an accusation, and we will get as many comments as we can from the principals involved in all this, so then you will have a greater understanding of why he voted against this and why perhaps it's not in the best interest of Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Southern, and the other fine institutions within our state. But I think we need to know, because all we've heard basically is, hey, these people oppose it, but why? What's wrong with it? And of course, there are a lot of people that are basically just kind of windsock advocates, right? I mean, just like whichever way the wind blows, that's the way that they're going to opine. Like if somebody comes out and says, well, that they admire, they're just going to go ahead and tag along with that opinion, even if they haven't created any original thoughts of their own. I don't know enough about this legislation to tell you what's good and bad about it. I've asked some people. Matter of fact, just on Gene's page today, somebody said, hey, it's a bad piece of legislation. I said, well, tell me what you don't like about it. So I think it's important to be open-minded. Of course, I put on Facebook that I'm pursuing this, and I'm in contact with Roger Wicker's staff. And, of course, it turns into, you know, some craziness. But I am basically using my platform to try to get you guys information. And we will pursue that, and I'm going to stay on it. And if it takes me calling and texting and emailing for a week or a month or whatever, then that's what we're going to do. I mean, I've had a lot of people tell me, good luck getting any comment from him. I don't necessarily need his comment. I can take what his staff says and says, hey, here is our position. Here is what we did. And there needs to be transparency in government. And you as Mississippians and as taxpayers and as fans of Southeastern Conference schools, you deserve to know the thought process behind why this vote wasn't in the best interest of the schools that you cheer for. Fair enough? I'm also working on another big story too, and it's kind of evolved over time. And so today I got some very meaningful email responses. Everybody is very busy in the world of college baseball. Of course, that will end very soon, you know. By the time you listen to the show, it's already over. But the thing that's important to understand is, and what I thought, and again, this is why it's important to be open-minded, because when you get tunnel vision, you start chasing things that maybe confirm your narrative. And whether you're a journalist or not, you need to be open to the possibility that you may have it wrong. Right? You let the information go where it takes you. Kind of like with the Hugh Freeze thing, right? I thought initially that these escorts were probably for recruits. That's what I thought. And as disgusting as that sounds, it would have made for a better story, right? And probably the more meaningful sanctions against, Reverend Freeze. Well, you go into it open-minded, and I still had people that say, I know those things, those guys were for recruits, those escorts are for recruits, and I can tell you there's probably nobody that has investigated this more thoroughly than me. I did write the book on this, and I can tell you I have found zero evidence that those escorts that were called in Hugh Freeze's phone records were for recruits. And I'll die on that hill. And I've actually talked to some of those people. We didn't get to print it in the book. I've talked out of that. You want to talk to people that you feel like, you know, that their character will withstand scrutiny. And we just didn't feel like that was the case, and we didn't want to be in the middle of a defamation case. So I'll never convince other people, but I have done my best to tell the truth as I know it about the Hugh Freeze scandal. But you go into it thinking, hey, these are probably for recruits. There's no way this guy's doing this. And then you find out later that, you know, maybe your opinion was incorrect. That's kind of how this thing started for me, like with this what I'm working on now, about the use or perhaps the misuse of technology during college baseball games. Now, you could say, Steve, what does all that mean? Well, you're going to have to wait for the story because it is a very exhaustive, well-researched story that is still evolving, and we are approaching our zenith with this. Probably get two more interviews, maybe three. And then we'll take some time to kind of, you know, crunch the data and go back and listen to interviews and just make sure we didn't miss anything, that we don't have to do any other follow-up interviews. But essentially, what is alleged in college baseball, and it's not just germane to the Southeastern Conference. There are allegations within the conference and outside the conference that there are certain teams that are using prohibitive technology in games to gain a competitive advantage. Now, I don't know how you prove it, honestly. And when I first got started with all this, I said, well, at the end of the day, we just want to get it fixed, right? And we also need to find out if it's illegal. Is it against the rules? Or is this a case where the technology is outpacing the rules and it needs to be addressed? Well, the D1 Baseball Rules Committee will meet in July. So I feel like that's the deadline, that we need to get this story wrapped up and get it out before they meet. And I have been in contact with them. I have been in contact with the NCAA Rules Secretary for Baseball. And yes, it is absolutely prohibited to use technology of any kind in-game outside of the tablet itself. And so there is a tablet that is basically not capable of connecting to the Wi-Fi. So, let me make sure I get this right. So basically, there is a tablet in the dugout that allows teams to dial up their, let me rephrase that. They can't send messages back and forth on these tablets to anybody. So as I say, for an example, you got a GA sitting in the stands, or you got a friend that picks up a pitcher's got to tell. Well, you can't text because there can't be any devices in the dugout that enable messaging. That's a tough thing to police, but that's the rule. But there's a tablet, and so basically you can access Synergy. So I guess you'd have to have Wi-Fi to do that. But you can access Synergy, which is a program that basically collects data and accumulates tendencies and pitchers and what percentages and things like that. And you can access your TrackMan data. And then you can access your scouting report. There's basically a notes function on there, and you can upload those things. So you don't have, you know, 4 or 5 3-ring binders in the dugout, right? And somebody, all of a sudden somebody, you know, knocks it out on a wet surface one day and everything is ruined. And so there is some technology in the dugout. However, you're not supposed to have it equipped for messaging. And these tablets supposedly are set up and then inspected by the league. So that's something in and of itself. But there are some allegations out there that there are some teams that are using technology to gain a competitive advantage over their opponents. And one of the things that the NCAA Rules Secretary shared with me today is if the opponents don't have access to that technology, then that creates a competitive advantage for the other team. And so I'm working through it, and I have had some people, of course, everybody's got a story, right? And the thing about it is, as I tell people, I can't print your suspicions. Can't do it. Other people may, but I'm not going to. You know, some people would kind of walk in that gray area and then like know that somebody probably wouldn't sue them for defamation because it would open them up for discovery. It would open them up for depositions under oath. And there are a lot of people that kind of live in that area. Well, that's not me, right? If we can't prove it, we're not going to write it. But what we can do is ask enough questions and ask the right questions that maybe it gets us to where we want to go. And at the end of the day, what we want is a level playing field in college baseball. And so maybe the hope is we can get enough information together to show the problem with this. And I think there's enough smart people already in D1 baseball that understand that it could potentially be a problem. And so no matter how many rules you put in place, there are some people who are going to find ways to cheat, right? That's just, you know, the rules only apply to the law abiding, right? And so the NCAA, and again, the people on these rules committees and stuff, these are coaches and, you know, these are people that are, they're not just executive suits. These are people that know the game. And so they want to protect the sanctity of the game, just like you and I do. And so we're trying to get it fixed. We're not trying to get anybody fired. We're just trying to get this thing fixed. And I think this is the perfect time for an investigation like this and to run a story like this ahead of the Rules Committee meeting to kind of give them a talking point. And then they can do their own digging, you know. And listen, I've got some people that were willing to talk early on that have gotten a little nervous and not so willing to talk. They'll text or they'll, you know, I'll call you back later. And that's kind of what happens when you get into this. It's kind of a signal when you know you're on the right track. But also what happens, too, is when other people find out you're digging, they contact you. They come out of the woodwork and contact you because they've got a story to tell. And they've just been waiting for the right person to come along that will protect them, but they can convey their message. And again, we're not out to get anybody. We're out to protect baseball. We're out to protect college baseball. And you guys know me well enough to know, if I had a smoking gun, there's no story I wouldn't write. Absolutely not. I would write it, you know. And, you know, goodness gracious, you know, I mean, I exposed, you know, some middle-aged soccer mom pretending to be a college kid to assist Ole Miss in their recruiting efforts several years ago, right? So there's not a story I wouldn't write if I had the evidence. And so that's kind of where we are in this thing. You never know what else may pop up. And I've got some important conversations we've got to have later this week that may provide a little more color for us. And so once we're done, it'll be published. We'll talk about it here on the show. But, of course, we'll make both of those stories free. They won't be behind a paywall, even though I have worked my fingers to the bone on that story. And I probably would be justified in putting it behind a paywall. But I feel like it's just better for college baseball and better for everybody else. The more eyeballs we get on this, the more likely we are to get some results. This is not an opportunity for me to just kind of monetize the content behind the paywall and say, well, you got to go pay it. You guys love college baseball the way I do. And so we want to make sure that we're doing what we can to protect the integrity of the game. Yeah. If you hadn't done so, visit DutyNobleBook.com. People ask me all the time, Steve, what's the best way to support you? Well, listen to the show, subscribe to the website, and buy some books. Come float at the spa, right? There's plenty of ways you can support the family Robertson. But visit DutyNobleBook.com. You get signed copies of all my sports titles, of course. That's Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, Dogpile, The Dude, and, of course, the personal memoir, When the Bottom Falls. Just this past weekend, this lady stopped me and said, Steve, I loved The Dude. Well, thank you very much, right? Loved writing that book. You can enjoy getting to know more about Duty Noble, too, by purchasing The Dude. You'll be glad you did, right? Come float with us at True West Float Spa Starboard. It's so interesting, too. Like, you know, when you start a new business, you never know what to expect. Like, I believe in us, and I believe in floating, and I believe in True Rest, and I believe that this was supposed to happen for us. And it's so funny. Dana ran the numbers, like, for our Father's Day special. You know, because the first year, like, people didn't know who you are, right? They just hear something, right? And so the first year, we did pretty good with the Father's Day special. Last year, we did great with the Father's Day special. And this year, we're up 20% over last year. Yeah, so the word is out. The good news is spreading. We're making Starkville and the Golden Triangle a much more relaxed place. Come float with us at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. Dial 662-268-7601. You can speak directly to my lovely wife, Dana. She can answer any questions you may have about floating. And you know, Tuesdays are typically like our slower days. And she told me earlier today we've already got 18 on the schedule, which probably means it'll surpass 20 before the day is done tomorrow. You could be next. Whether you got chronic anxiety or pain or you just need a break, we may be able to help you. We've helped many others. Again, at 662-268-7601. And come join us over at jeanspage.com, the most comprehensive coverage in the history of Mississippi State sports. You want to talk recruiting? We got you covered. You want to talk college baseball? We got you covered too. And, you know, just from time to time, we may end up writing a big story that leads to change, sometimes in people's address, but other times just to help get the rules changed. And there's a lot of investigations, guys, that I work on that don't really go anywhere, doesn't end up in a story. And there are others that you uncover things that you can share with other people, and we can get things corrected. And that really is the power of journalism, right? It's not always having a gotcha moment. It's like, hey, if we've got an issue that we need to fix, well, let's you know, shine a light on it, bring it to people's attention, make it rise up the ladder of awareness. We can get things addressed. You know, you don't have to have the moving truck show up to get some, to get progress, you know? And I think that's an important aspect of this. And that's what we're always trying to do, is just find the truth and then share that as publicly as we can in an effort to bring change. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.